I can't imagine a better way that I would want to enter into 2017 than sharing communion with you all here. As I was sitting there, I was getting a little more emotional than I felt like I should be. I was like, what is happening to you right now? But I just love taking communion together, because to remember Christ is so important. And oftentimes we think about remember a little differently than how I sometimes picture it. You see, to remember means to become members again. Get it? Remember. I like to think of it in a different way, because when we take communion, it's like we're reuniting ourselves back to the body of Christ. No matter where you've been, no matter who you are, no matter what's going on, we can remember ourselves into Christ. And that is a treasure that I hope you don't take lightly, that God is there, that He's always welcoming us. And what a great way to start 2017. What a great way to start by remembering ourselves as a body into Christ, into His church, into His mission. Ugh, so good. I love it. So, anyway, that was extra. So, when I thought about sharing, I thought about peace. And I reflected a little bit on my life. It had been almost 48 hours, and we had worked, and we had slept, and we had anticipated for 9 months. And then in an instant, after all the anticipation, after a long 48 hours in the hospital, it happened. Our first daughter, June, came into the world. And all of our hope and our joy and our love was just culminated into this overwhelming peace. This peace that she was here, that even though we were tired, even though we knew we had a lifetime of work, most of which we still haven't even fully understood, I'm sure, but there was a peace that came over us. This peace was something that I've never felt before, that I had never felt before. It was the experience of a lifetime. And again, I say, we knew, even in that moment, we knew that there was a lifetime of hard work, of worry, of stress, of, you know, getting to school on time or to church or to sports or activities or whatever. We still experience this peace, this overwhelming, indescribable peace. I can close my eyes and I can remember it in an instant. I imagine that Mary felt all of these emotions too. I imagine that as she got ready and prepared, she probably experienced them even more as she knew what was ahead, as she had heard this prophetic word from the angels that she would bear Christ the Lord. I'm sure she felt this hope, this love, this joy, and then in an instant, this peace, this beautiful peace. I hope that you too got to experience this as we anticipated the coming of Christ this Christmas, for that's what it's all about. December marks a time every year when we get to remember, when we get to reflect, when we get to anticipate again the coming. And we get to be renewed by this love, this hope, and this joy, and finally this peace that Christ is with us. Luke 2 put it this way, that Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. See, I feel like peace is very contemplative, that there's a reflection, that there's a pondering. And Mary was a really good example in these times. We get to learn from her and glean from her experiences and wisdom. This morning I want to talk a little bit more about that peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. I'm sure most of us in this room have heard that word, but unfortunately I feel like that word comes up a little short in our English vocabulary. A lot of times I feel like we just associate peace with a lack of war. And that just sells it so short. And that's definitely not what the Hebrew word shalom was really meant for. There's so much more than lack of war in shalom. Shalom is Emmanuel. God's peace comes to us because God is with us. Shalom, this peace of God, is a movement towards good. It's a movement towards wholeness. It's a living, active force in the world. It is alive and well today as much as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus the Christ was born. This active living force, I believe, is what Jesus was referring to when he used the phrases the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Mary experienced it at an instant when she had Jesus. Not only did she have a child, which I say I've experienced in that moment, but she had Jesus, the Savior, Christ the Lord. She cradled him in her arms, and she felt that shalom, that deep peace, that wholeness that comes when we truly know that Emmanuel, God, is with us. Jesus, the Christ, God with us, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel. Wow! This is good news. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus in this way: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Now that's something to be excited about. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Whew, you guys out there? Come on. I know you stayed up late last night, but that is amazing. Do we believe that? Sometimes I don't think we believe that. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This means, if you believe the prophecies, that when Jesus came, regardless of how you might feel, regardless of what evidence you might hold to the contrary, that he has already established his kingdom here on earth. He has already brought shalom. Emmanuel has come and God is with us. It doesn't always happen. Feel like that, does it? Sometimes our feelings can lead us astray. I know for many, 2016 was a hard year. For many, there were things that happened in 2016 that they would hope that would not happen again. We had all sorts of ups and downs. There was just, I feel like for the entire year, social media was just a mess. It was just pointless to even get on. The news was terrible, always. But despite all that, Emmanuel is here. God is with us. And he has established this kingdom through love, through sacrifice, through death, and through his resurrection. Because the greatness of his government is Emmanuel. The greatness of his peace is that God is with us. And this, my friends, is good news. This is the good news that we hold so tight that God is here. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what's going on, no matter how you may feel, no matter what events are taking place in the world, God is near. He is here. This is the good news of Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, all of it, all in one, that God is with us. Paul says it this way to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Emmanuel. God is with us. God is always present, right? We believe that. Omnipresent. God is here. God is near. God cares for us. John teaches us that God is love. That God is literally this whatever fills all the void. The universe, the reality of the universe is that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, God is near. There's no place that you can go where He is not. There's no place that you can run to escape Him. And there's no reason why you would even want to. Here's something I've become fully convinced of, is that people who do not believe in God, the God that they don't believe in is a false God. Because the God that I know, the God that I love, is simply irresistible. He is irresistible. God is love. And so when folks say that they don't love God, my first thought is, you don't know. The God that you don't love is a God that does not exist. Because if you knew El Shaddai, if you knew Jehovah Jireh, if you knew Yahweh, the Creator, who saw us when we were in our mother's womb, who knit us together, who knows everything, good, bad, indifferent, He knows it all and He loves you. He wants the best for you. You would love that God. You would trust that God. I sure know that I do. He's a God worth giving everything for. And of the greatness of His government and peace, there shall be no end. The Creator of heaven and earth is and has always been working to make all things new. Does that sound pretty good? Good, because here's where it gets really good. I just keep wanting to get closer to you. I don't know, I feel like I'm going to fall off this ledge. If I do, just keep going. It's fine. Hopefully I won't burn myself. Here's where it gets really good, okay? God is with us. Okay, we've established that. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Okay, we're there. Are we all there? We're all there. Okay, good. So then Jesus and Paul and Peter and John and all the apostles and all the early church fathers, everybody starts to warn us of something. They start to say some crazy stuff that's so good. They start to talk about the Holy Spirit. And see, this is where it gets good, y'all. Because the Holy Spirit is going to light you up. Okay? You see, God is with us. We get that. But Jesus, Paul, all these guys, they say not only is God with you, but God can live and will live in you. You see, to have God with us makes God seem like some sort of an object, that God is with us, that, you know, there's something here, you know, that is physical in some way. But the Spirit, this all-inspiring power of God, lives and moves and breathes not only around us, but in and through us. You see, when we trust Jehovah Jireh, when we trust that God will provide, when we trust that God made us and that He loves us and that He wants us and that He's here, and when we seek God's Spirit, the Counselor, the Comforter, our Advocate, our Teacher, when we seek the Spirit, that is how we truly experience this shalom, this peace. You see, just because God is in and through and with everything, like Paul says in Ephesians 4, God is above all and through all and in all, just because that is true doesn't mean that you've experienced the power, the vitality that comes from God's Spirit. Yes, He may be around you. He may be near. God may be ever present. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you've experienced that. You know how you experience the Spirit? Yeah, I could say a lot of, you know, overly spiritual things, but I'm going to break it down really simple. I'm going to break it down to kind of a base idea. We experience the Spirit through remembering. Just like we did this morning. When we took communion, we remembered. Now, sure, there's some other layers and levels to it, but I want to break it down really simple because I feel like what is lost, one of the things that is lost with us in the 21st century is remembering. We move so fast. We go so hard. We're so distracted that we don't take time to remember. To remember as in recalling an event, but also, as I told you before, to remember ourselves into Christ. What a great time to be talking about remembering as we leave one year on our doorstep and we step into a new one. I hope we can remember together. You see, Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments, and I will send the Counselor, the Spirit of truth." Well, I mean, let's just kind of think real simplistically. How could they obey His commandments if they didn't remember them? Right? It seems kind of like a baseline idea, but it's so true. If we don't remember these things, we can't do any of them. If we don't remember who God is, if we don't remember what He's done for us, then we're probably not going to live for Him. We're probably not going to seek the Spirit. We're probably not going to do any of these things. Paul later says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul, speaking to the church in Philippi, says, don't be anxious, but through prayer and petition, through remembering, through recalling events, through laying them down before God, present these things to God. And the peace, the shalom, God's presence, the Spirit, will guard your hearts. The Spirit of God is shalom, is Emmanuel, the truth that God is with us. And this is a mystery. This is the mystery of the entire church, that God is with us, and that we can do something about it. That we can accept the fact that He's here. That we can reflect and be contemplative and remember and work towards this shalom. Work towards this active force in the world, this kingdom of God. This love that is irresistible, that is all-encompassing, that will win. Amen? This love that will make all things new, this love that will conquer death and has conquered death, this love that is resurrected, this is the mystery of the Spirit and this is the mystery of the church, because that's what we're all here for. Is we're here to remember ourselves into the body of Christ. And we do that by remembering the Spirit, by seeking the Spirit. It's all over the place in the New Testament. I'm just going to list off a few places where it talks about the body and the spirit and the church. Romans 12, 5, 1 Corinthians 10, 17, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Ephesians 4, 12, Hebrews 13, 3, Ephesians 5, 23, Colossians 1, 24. If you want that list later, if you didn't get all those, I'll tell you about all of these passages. Talk about seeking the spirit and being the body working together. And we're working together towards shalom, towards this kingdom of God, this love that will conquer all. When we do this, when we seek the Spirit, when we remember, when we reflect, when we contemplate who God is and who He's called us to be, we become a mighty force. But how do we do it? Most days, it seems fairly unreachable, I would say. I don't know about you, but I don't wake up every morning and think, today the Spirit is going to help me to have love conquer over hate or darkness. We're going to get it. And I know that because I see evidence of that all around me. It seems pretty bleak some days. Sometimes our evidence is a little misleading, I would say. Sometimes we're too stressed or busy or sick maybe or tired, and it seems like there is no hope. I understand. I've been there. Some days, I don't know about you, but some days, and Jenny and I talk about this, I just feel like something's wrong, like there's something bad or something's not, doesn't feel right. You just feel down, you know, and you can't really name it per se, but it's like, there's just something's off. Does anybody else feel that way? Some days it's just like, man, something's just, today's not my day or something. The other day, Jenny and I had one of those days, and we had a really hard time with the girls. Just, it was rough. And we finally, after forever, finally got them in bed, and they finally settled down. And we just, I'm sure many of you have experienced this, we just like collapsed on the couch, and we were like, ugh, just so frustrated. And we didn't want to do anything for the rest of the night. We're just like, I'm so done. And as we sat there, we took some deep breaths and just kind of calmed down, and we started to just remember. We started to reflect. We started to recount both the girls' birth stories and how we felt and some of the crazy things that they've done in just the short 4 years that we've had them. And we remembered why. We remembered why we do it. We remembered why it's worth it. And we got there through reflection. We got there because we remembered. And the same is true when I reflect on who God is and what He's done and how He is working to make all things new. We experience God's shalom, His Spirit, His peace, through remembering. We are filled with the Spirit by reflecting, by taking time as often as we can to contemplate. Just like Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think it would do us all well to spend a little bit more time pondering, to spend a little bit more time in contemplation, because this is what gives us the strength to move forward. This is what gives us the strength to still be this active force in the world for good. This is what reminds us that love is more powerful than hate, and that life is stronger than death. This is how we get there. This is how we experience the kingdom. And this is why Jesus told us to remember. This is what the Last Supper was all about. because food is so critical to our lives. And so Jesus took something ordinary, like eating a meal. And I truly believe when Jesus said this, he meant it for every meal. That whenever you gather, remember, do this in remembrance of me. I don't know about you, but I eat at least 3 times a day. At least. And so what if, can we all say, I know I can't. Can we all say that we all take time 3 times a day to really slow down and contemplate who God is and what he's doing in the world and what he's doing in our lives? Sure, many of us probably pray before all of our meals, but do we do it just because that's what we've always done? Or do we really stop? Do we take a deep breath and say, man, our God is good. Look at all he's done for us. Sure, there's pain and suffering, but he has brought us through. He has carried us in our weaknesses. I hope that 2017 can be a year of contemplation for us all. I hope that we will take time as often as we can to remember, to reflect on who God is and who he's called us to be. And that through the power of reflection and through the power of the Spirit, we would be able to walk in the way that he is calling us. And I'm telling you, if we do that, we will see evidence that love is stronger than hate and that life is more powerful than death. As the band comes back up to lead us in a song, would you just let me speak a word of benediction over you this morning? God our Father, Jesus our brother, Spirit our guide, may we remember you as often as there is breath in our lungs. May we look to you with a renewed sense of hope and purpose to bring shalom to the world. Let us take time daily to reflect, even in the face of death, on how wide and high and long and deep your love is. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage each other in resisting darkness and bearing witness to the light and hope that is found in Christ. Amen.